Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to Stop Child Abuse Now Talk Radio Show, sponsored by NASCA, which stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Penelope Bennis. I'm from Bellevue, Washington. And on my host team this evening is Tameka Chambers. She is from Oregon, from Tillamook, Oregon. She's also our Oregon ambassador for NASCA. We also have John Anderson, our ambassador for NASCA in the great Louisiana, from New Orleans, Louisiana. So I wish to welcome them this evening. And I want to let you know this is SCAN, which stands for Stop Child Abuse Now, SCAN number 2786. And it's special guest night tonight. And before I announce our special guest and give you a little bit of information about her background, I wanted to talk to you about what it's all about NASCA's mission. If you'd like to be a part of the show this evening, I know that Tameka and I would highly encourage you to do so, to call in and come on and participate, along with John, Tameka, and myself. Just dial the area code 646-595-2118. Again, that's area code 646-595-2118. And Tameka will greet you on our back line and welcome you to the show. You'll have an opportunity just to participate, either ask a question or comment to our very special guest. And if we choose instead to just discuss a topic related to the work that we do, you can participate, be an open forum discussion. So it's a great way to get involved and to learn and to become a little bit more familiar with NASCA and how we interact with each other on the show and to contribute some of your knowledge and experience. And we do welcome you. So without further ado, I want to talk a little bit about NASCA because, as you know, NASCA is all about intervention, prevention, recovery. We have a single purpose at NASCA, and it's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. The first goal, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And the second goal of offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. The number to call in, again, if you wish to participate in the panel this evening, there is no experience necessary, is area code 6 evening. And while we wait, what we do typically is we are going to open up John's microphone as well. We have an open forum type of discussion where we talk about a topic related to the work that we do in our mission statement, which is child abuse, trauma, prevention, intervention, recovery. So I just want to open it up to Tameka and John and just see if there's anything that you'd like to discuss this evening and just put forward as a topic of discussion as we go through the show. I'll just open it up first before I interject my opinion. Tamika, do you have any ideas, or John, any ideas?
Well, one of the things that we talked about what we do in the community, as mm-hmm. far as the services or anything that we provide or what we've done regarding childhood sexual abuse, any projects that we've worked on, et cetera.
That's a great idea, because as we're coming out of COVID and things are opening up, you know, we have more of an opportunity to actually, you know, get our own feet on the street and actually start, you know, seeing the whites of other people's eyes and talking about our mission of what we do here at NAFTA. So I like that idea. John, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that, or if you had any other ideas that you wanted to put forward before we move forward in our discussion. He might be on mute. Maybe he's on mute. We'll just wait for him to come back. But I'm good with that, Tamika. I like that idea, because sometimes I get overwhelmed and I don't even know where to start. There's just so much work to do. I don't know if you can relate to that feeling or not, but
sorry, Penelope. I'm here.
Oh, it's all right. Okay. Did you have?
I'm sorry. I heard everything you said. I heard everything
okay.
you said. Yes, I did have a comment real quick. I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely, I would. I love that idea, you know, about, you know, getting the community involved in different ways that we can, you know, offer platforms for them, right, which we have unlimited. Also, too, I would really like to focus on recognizing child safety issues in the community, you know. Between playgrounds, schools, organizations, church, you name it. You know, we can go and do the whole thing, because without either, we have nothing, you know, really. You know, look at it. I mean, the community has to be involved with child safety and knowing, you know, that there are a lot of things out here that to benefit, and then what to do when we recognize things, you know. There's a lot of issues to look at there, depending on the environment, right?
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. In fact, we had a guest on the other night, and she had shared with us, she had written a number of books starting back in the 1980s and was actually involved in the initial launch of the concept of, I'm sure we've all familiar with this term, neighborhood watch for our kids. And she brought a lot of expertise and resources into how to educate, right, and resources and tools to help parents and the community know how to keep our children safe. And I thought that was really good information. And she, you know, posed a lot of different ideas and a lot of areas to go to start this education. And that's one thing I love about NAFTA, is that within our NAFTA family, we have so much brain power with all the talents and the contributions of our members into the community regarding these issues. I mean, I agree. And that we can't work with children directly, you know, because our organization is, you know, 18 and older. We can't work with children directly, but we can certainly help educate, and we can certainly provide the resources and tools to our other members in our community and the parents to help us, you know, within this cause. So.
Well, Penelope, how important is it to, you know, recognize situations within the community? Okay. In other words, a lot of times there may be, a truck that comes in there. He looks like he's a contractor. You know, he waves at the people. He's nice, but he's a predator, okay? Or, you know, there's other situations that need to come into play where, you know, they're actually having them, you know, access at bus stops. You know, it's just the fact that if you see something in the environment, you know, that is different. And it's just like what you say every time, you know, if you see something, say something, right? Well, it's almost that scenario, but you're actually realizing it in real life. It's kind of a different perspective, because if you see something that's on the ordinary, well, let's look at that. Where would that be? Okay, well, it could be, you know, through the school. It could be through sports. Just things along the way. But when you are out in the public community, right, and you have all these people that have the right of way, technically, to drive anywhere they want to, they can be in any kind of vehicle, you know. But if you, you know, realize that something may be out the unordinary, it probably is a lot of times. So, you know, it's good to just keep a keen eye out on knowing what you're used to seeing. And you know, if you do see something, hey, you know, the police are never, you know, less than a phone call away, really. If you feel like that you had a bad feeling inside of you because of something you just saw, you know, it pick the phone up and give them a call. It's worth checking out, you know, because sometimes that's when it happens. You know, because they may be just after that, you know. So, you know, it's just, to me, it's unlimited of the effort that pedophiles will put out, okay, to hide and seek and sneak in every which way it takes to really outsmart now, because that's what it's getting to. You realize that, right? I mean, are y'all with me on this? Because I feel like that, you know, they, at this point, because we have so much pressure on them these days, that they're going to try to find every little bitty avenue to try, you know? So that's what I want to stop, you know? And the same thing with this community effort is that, you know, yes, I would absolutely recognize something in a heartbeat. However, the average person that doesn't expect it, you know, it could actually be happening right in front of their eyes. You know, so it's about the awareness, you know, that comes into play. And that, look, if you live in a community, right, and you know that there is a school in the area, there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood, you know, there's a great loving community. It's growing, and it's just a great family area. You know, you have to expect that at some point, okay, somebody's going to try something, you know, because the statistics are there. I mean, they are overwhelming of the opportunities that they're trying to get to our kids. You know, so this is what we need. We need the community, you know, to step up and start really looking out for it more heavily than ever before. You know, because do you know, and we ran into a stat, Penelope, I think, you know, you and I did this show, there was 460,000 missing kids just from the United States in 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you fathom that? Can you absolutely fathom that?
I'm sorry. And I think we heard another figure of $220 million a day.
That's
spent on. On child abuse.
That's right.
Wow.
And what's really, you know, almost really sad about it is that even the UK is like at, you know, what is it? It was 460,000 here. It was 100,000 there. Okay. So you're looking at, and it goes down from there. Okay. Is what I'm getting at. United States was overwhelming, you know, off of the charts when it came down to missing children. And a lot of it has to do with you know, sex abuse, of course, you know, child trafficking, everything that we always do here at NASCA. And it's just, the numbers are real. Now, listen, I'm not going to say that that's an exact number, and we all know that numbers fluctuate, you know, because of different stats. But I can tell you what, and because, you know, of the guests that we've had on here who do this for a living, Penelope, and you know that we have our numbers down because we spend too much time, you know, investigating these numbers every day of the week, you know, and every year because new stats come out. But, mm-hmm. you know, when Nick Bryant was on, you know, and this is who it is, right? You know, the closest one is the UK with 112,000 a year, okay? And then there we are, you know, 460. So that was an average, you know, close around number to that, give, take. You know, you never know. It could be low. Who knows, you know? But, I mean, you talking about some serious issues that need to be involved, and that's what the public needs to be aware about, you know, about, you know, knowing that at any given time in their community that this could be happening, you know, and this is what we want to stop. This is what we want to shut down. And look, I would love nothing better than to catch them in the progress, you know, if it came down to it. And you know how rare that is. You know, if somebody was to do investigations, I guess, and try to, you know, trap people with, you know, set them up, you know, and you know, maybe, let me just give you a small example. Maybe meet them at a hospital, okay? And, you know, and it's set up in a ring, you know, and you get busted, you know? I mean, maybe it needs to be more of that. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, both you and Tamika, and your children are younger than mine because I was a senior in high school and then two in college now. Not that there still isn't reason to be concerned always, but for my own children, you know, I have other worries on top of those worries right now. But I'm curious as to how you go about, is there some protocol that you set up either within the family or within the community where when you see something like this or you have, you know, reason to be concerned, is there a protocol or a process that you follow to disseminate this information so that some action can be taken? I'm just curious if you and Tamika have any best practices that you can share.
I'm sorry, say that again, Penelope. Would you ask that question again?
Well, I'm just curious if either one of you have some, you know, we're talking about obviously being on alert and being aware and, you know, the prevalence of children being harmed, whether it's, you know, child trafficking or just sexual abuse or child abuse or even, as John mentioned, anybody that seems suspicious lurking in the neighborhood where you think, okay, I need to bring this to everyone's attention. I'm not, you know, there's a reason to be alarmed right now and to keep your children, you know, close at hand. Are there any best practices or any, you know, processes that you follow, you know, to implement, you know, some safety measures for your own children or within your community? I'm just curious if we can share some best practices on that.
Well, I think that's one of the advantages of experiencing childhood sex. I mean, as far as advantage, I would say that's one of the positive things that I have regarding my experience with childhood sexual abuse is that it makes me more sensitive, and it makes me, mm-hmm. my voice makes me want to talk to my children about being safe, about, you know, one of the things I definitely tell them is that they are not to go outside by themselves. They need to be with a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I know we live in a pretty quiet neighborhood, and that was one of the things that I was going to mention. So I do tell my children that, hey, you're never to go outside by yourself. Always be with me or your father, a parent, you know, an adult. And I also tell them that if we happen to, you know, walk away or something, you always follow, come back, pay attention to where we are. And I know sometimes kids get so excited they're outside, But one of the things that I did want to mention to you as well is that when John mentioned about the importance of people paying attention in the neighborhood, and that's one of the things I encourage my children to do too as well. They see something not right, if they, whatever it may be, that to always come and tell me. You know, if they, if someone says something inappropriate, and I've had my son to tell me that, and my daughter, I make sure as a parent that I am approachable, that I spend time, quality time with my children, because a lot of times, you
that's
know,
great,
often
yeah.
what we hear is that children mm-hmm. feel they're not, they cannot approach their parent. They feel like that the parent is too busy, or that their voice doesn't matter. I know I felt that way as a child when I went
to
an adult. Is
yes,
that I
thank
felt
you
like,
for saying that.
I felt, man, I felt like my, you know, my the person was too busy to hear, to see my sadness in my face, the desire to talk. And so I tell my kids that, hey, if something comes, when I share this actually as I'm working on my, as I've worked on my memoir, is that I tell them, hey, if there's something that you have to tell me, then say, Mommy, I need to talk to you. No matter what I'm doing, I'm never too busy for you to bring up something that is important to you. And I did also, too, want to touch base on something that John said, is that if we see something that is that definitely sends red flags or sends an alarm inside of us that something's not right, do not hesitate to speak up, especially if you have experienced childhood sexual abuse, because, like I said, I feel like I'm more sensitive to things. I'm more sensitive to if my children are not having a good day and something's bothering them, that you don't worry about people thinking, oh, she's been through it. Don't worry about her. She's crazy, or this is this, that, you know, some labels they made it try to tell you. If there is something you feel not right, then you have the right to speak up, no matter what anybody thinks or says, because you never know whose life you may save. And so I'm always on the lookout, and people have said, you know, wow, did you see that? And I'm like, yeah, I saw it. And, you know, I don't mind calling the cops. I don't mind, you know, making sure somebody else knows that when I was in, when I used to work in the library, when I was going to school, I saw abuse. I saw a person kicking someone else, and I spoke up. We were in the library. And I was just so outraged to see that somebody was actually putting their hands on somebody else. You know, abuse is abuse. And so we have to make sure that we speak up, because you never know, again, whose life you may save. You never know when you think about this trafficking and where people are being, you know, where they take people to. You could be the one that intercepts that and keep that child safe. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. That is so true. In fact, so here's something, you just brought something up about, you know, not only making a safe place for your children, not only keeping them close at hand, but, you know, allowing and being accessible, right? But when you feel that there's some imminent danger in the neighborhood, to put people on alert, right? I don't know if you all are have this Nextdoor app, or you've been invited to your neighborhood's, you know, Nextdoor app, or if you're familiar with the Nextdoor app, but we have that in our, you know, the Nextdoor app, our neighborhood has that launched. And I'll tell you that there are posts several times a day, from suspicious trucks to I just spotted a coyote to all these different things. But it's, you know, it's really this kind of a neighborhood watch. It's come online that I think it's a pretty effective way to communicate pretty quickly to a large surrounding area. And I didn't know if you were familiar with that app or if you utilized it in that capacity or not, but I just noticed that lately there's a lot more activity on it and a lot more communication going around. And it's real just in time, kind of, as things are happening.
Right, and that's the first time I heard that. We just purchased a door, I forget the name of it, but it's one that you can actually see for a distance, you know, if somebody's walking around your house, or if a truck does pull up, we do have access to that. So, but I think that's my first time ever hearing about the Nextdoor app.
Yeah, I think that one's really effective. So it seems, well, we have the Ring as well. And sometimes our neighbors will take a video from the Ring app, and then they'll put it on the Nextdoor app, and they'll send it around too, so you can kind of see the footage of what's happening, and then that gets disseminated. So, John, I also noticed that Bill's on the line. So, Bill, I just wanted to welcome you to the conversation for joining us tonight.
There we go. Thank you. yeah, I'm happy to be here. This is a good conversation, and I think we should continue it. But I also want to report that Amber, I did reach Amber. She was in the hospital with her daughter who had I think it was a strep throat or bronchitis or something. And she completely forgot to call us and tell us she was going to have to postpone it. So we made arrangements for her to be the guest on Wednesday instead, but she won't be here tonight.
Okay.
Amber Smith. Yeah. So we'll just have this show that you're doing, which is great. I like the topic very much. And I have some contributions that I can make whenever you're ready. But it looks like Tamika, John, and Alice have not heard any of this. So we'll wait for them to come on.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like they're all on the back line. So,
there they are.
Tamika,
here they come back.
Yeah,
it's me. John is talking. Sorry, I was like, okay, I need to get back. So sorry about that.
So yeah, Tamika is my co-host tonight. And boy, Bill, I just say something that this is her, second Monday in a row of co-hosting. I trained her very briefly for the first time last Monday before the show, and she is such a quick study. I mean, she's already up and going, and she knows it all, and I just can't tell you. I'm very impressed. And
she knows it all.
But you know what? When you have an ex-trainer, how can you not, do
there
well?
You go.
So.
That's why. I welcome you to the group, Tamika, and appreciate your participating as a trailer and later as a host. Thank you very much for committing to that. It's very important.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Bill, for the opportunity. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You bet. So as I was saying to Penelope, I did reach our guest, and she's not going to be able to be here tonight. She'll be here on Wednesday instead. So we're going to just continue the show that you were doing, which I've been listening to for the last few minutes, 10 minutes. So I'm ready to go, I think it's a great topic, And I would like John and Alice to be here, but they're having fun with themselves, which means they've missed everything that's been said. Since you both went off to listen to Alice, to talk to Alice. And so, all right, here's what I have to offer. I have a lot of things to offer, but basically, Penelope, we have a neighborhood watch system too. And we have Nextdoor now, but neighborhood watch is an in-person thing that I think works best when it's an in-person thing. And especially because you get to know the neighbors that are the good guys, the ones that are watching.
Yeah.
You get to know each other. So there's two reasons. You get to know who the bad guys are, but you also get to know the good guys. And among the good guys in our case are officers who almost always come, at least one or two, to the neighborhood watch meeting. At least they drop in. And they offer some hints and tips about what's going on in the community, and we rarely have a very violent community, but it does happen, and we've not had a child abducted or anything like that, thank goodness, but you talk about if you see something, say something. This is where the community who knows each other can be informed if God forbid anything happens. I mean, we have a lot of broken cars broken into and things like that, but not too much violence. And we have it occasionally. And I just feel better that I, even in the community, if I drive around, I know which houses include people that are, sort of public safety conscious. There's also an app. I'm going to look it up for you guys. I think it's findthechildren.org. Is that what it is? That's on our website.
Yeah.
Is that it? Find Our Children? find it. Let me see. Looking for it. Protect Our Kids. Probably under Protect Our Kids. You know, we have entire pages of information about these types of topics. One of them is the Protect Our Kids page, and there's many, many articles on that. And one of them that I liked, and I haven't spoken about in quite a long time, is this app that's called Protect, let me see, I don't want to say it the wrong way. And I'll look for it one. But the idea is that you join this, it's a website, it's a nonprofit website, doesn't cost anything, and you register your who you are and your zip code into the registry. The thing is out of Florida, but it covers the whole country. And what they do is, when there's a, you know how we have the Amber child, the child system with the Amber lights?
Oh yeah, Amber alerts. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a cyber version of that, and it's been working for quite some time. That you have a message that goes out, but it only goes out to the zip code or a couple of zip codes around where you live. So we don't waste, you know, people's time. And you get notified according to that when there's somebody missing in your community, and it goes out right away. Of course, email is
right.
Instantaneous. So, you know, it's a good way to get people out. And I think it's called, I'm going to have to look for it.
I know also, too, what they do, Bill, is that they actually put these on the interstate. When you drive down the interstate, you're leaving from one state to another. Say if I was leaving Louisiana, heading to Florida, right? And along the way, they're going to have these big old signs that say Amber Alert. And then it'll say, you know, who that is. And because of the state police of that particular state put it out, there's a fact that, you know, they could be heading, you know, either down the coast or, you know, maybe up the ways, the main major highways anyway, around that area, like you said, exactly what you said. And that's what they do. They kind of lock that area down. But is it too late? You know, I mean, is it too late already? Because usually by the time those Amber Alerts come out, you know, it was like 24 hours after, you know, they reported, and it was like,
exactly.
You know, 24 hours, I could be in Mexico, you know?
Right.
I mean, really?
So, and that's the point. This thing works because, you know, it's instantaneous. As soon as they get the information, they can put it right out again to the right people in the right zip code. Because you pre-register. And so they hold this information when there's somebody in, you know, in the section of in Florida or Texas or wherever you are. You know, it gets sent out to just that group. And that's fast, which is why I liked it. So anyway, that's an idea. I'll have to hunt for the name. I thought I would find it right away.
I thought at one point, now I could be mistaken, there was a 3-digit code, not 911 obviously, but that you could call for these types of emergency situations. Am I incorrect? I thought I
yes.
could recall that there. Okay.
There's two numbers, 311 and 211, that in many communities work, but they're not emergency numbers or whatever. They're numbers to get information on services in the area. So like, where's the sanitation department and so forth. they're not for reporting things. However, a lot of police departments do have a non-emergency number, and they want people to use that number to free up the emergency number, the 911 numbers. So, you know, it's not a bad idea, Penelope, to find out whatever that number is and put it on the refrigerator, you know, because you can call in about nuisance type things, but things that don't, you know, come to the level of needing, lights and sirens response, you know, code 3. So
that's what I base it on too, Bill. You know, I mean, look, if it's that important, you dial 911. You know, you get it going. I mean, that's all I can resist it on. I mean, if there's an issue and it has to be done, dial 911 and get it started. I mean, it's going to be the same principle, You know, I mean, what if there is a direct line on a type of, you know, abuse situation going on? You know, it's still going to resort to the police in one way or another before it gets reported, you know, to the rest of the system, because it is a system. You know, so in one way or another, they're going to have to show up anyway. So why not just, you know, go ahead and dial 911, get it done, you know?
Well, it's because 911 is supposed to be a kind of a quick way to send the emergency vehicle. So if you see something happen right then, you call 911. You know, if there's bleeding involved, you call 911, you know, anything like that. But they are so overused.
Yeah.
With people that call up and say, can somebody come by and sweep my sidewalk? It's got a lot of leaves on, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Not a 911 call.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, no 911 calls for a late pizza delivery, right? None of that.
Exactly.
Well, this, I'm going to tell you what would be a 911 call. If a young boy came home one day, or a young lady, okay, and she told her mom that, or he told his dad, or however it's going to work, that they were abused but in touch by somebody, okay? What number do you call? You call 911. That's what you do, you know? If he's going to open up and he's going to report that there's a crime involved, which if I'm saying it is a crime, now let me reemphasize, it's got to be a crime, right? Teacher, well, I don't know, I'm just giving you, we all know, you know, what's out there, whoever it may be, is that, you know, at that moment, you know, that to me is a 911 call. Don't you agree with that?
I think with John, the thing is, if you don't know what number to call, I think it's better to call a number, and if you have the wrong number, they can refer you. But some people, we don't want people to be confused about, well, what number do I call to report this? So I can see that, John. If somebody doesn't know what to call or who to call,
yeah.
It's late at night, a lot of offices are closed, who do you call to get someone there immediately? I mean, when they call about domestic violence cases,
I'm going to tell you why.
They're calling the cops.
Penelope, I'm going to tell you exactly why that happens. Because when a person breaks through and they sitting there at that kitchen table and they pouring their eyes out, they can't think straight. They're not going to be looking for numbers and getting all this advice and everything else, you know, at that moment. Now, this is a special moment now. Let's look at this moment, though. You know, I think a lot of us have been here before. You know, there's a moment for this. And I'm telling you that when that moment comes, it's that you're not going to be able to focus too much. You know, you're not going to be one of digging into phone numbers unless you're that special person, which I will give you praise for, because people need that, no question. If there was somebody that was there for them and opened up, you know, and they were there to handle that kind of stuff, that's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But a lot of people that get into that distraught state where they're just not going to be able to focus, okay? So, I mean, you know, there could be another person that can't handle that end of it. So, you know, something's got to give, you know, but now I look at it as a public emergency, because if there is a pedophile running around the community, you know, it's just a matter of time before he gets a hold of somebody else, you know, and to me that is the public emergency, period, you know. I mean, why isn't it? You know, that's you know, everybody's life's biggest investment, you know, our kids. You know, we don't want our kids to go through what we went through with this. You know, come on. You know, I don't think any of us want this. You know, however, you know, we had to pay the ultimate sacrifice to, you know, to make sure that it don't happen anymore. And thank God we are at that place. Thank God the bill, you know, and other organizations that made it happen, you know, for this opportunity. Look, without that, there is nothing. They're going to do what they want to do, and it's going to go, you know. So, no, it's not going to happen now. This is our time. We've worked way too long to get to this point, You know, we are finally getting justice right now, and, you know, for everything now. And that's what, you know, it's taken this long. My God, you know, Bill, you know, it's taken, what, 45 years, you know, for a lot of people, at least, you know, and on down. But I'm glad to see some of the younger people who are coming out these days, you know, which is great. I love that so much. Right. I want to say, let me reemphasize what I just said about loving that so much. Don't look at that as a bad way, because I need y'all to understand what I'm saying with that, is that I have tried so hard in my life to have people come out at a younger age instead of holding in, you know, for, you know, 20 years, 25 years. And you know, yes, the statute of limitations has been lifted here in Louisiana, but you might not be in Louisiana, you know? I mean, that, you know, that's what I'm getting at, you know?
I just found the name of that website.
Oh.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You found it, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's under the page that we have. What is it? The Finding Missing Kids page. Anyway, it's called achildismissing.org. That's the name of the organization, A Child Is Missing. And
right. When
you go there, as I say, you put in your phone number, I guess you could put in your phone number and your zip code.
Uh-huh.
I know they do it by zip code. And, you know, it's totally by donation, so it's completely free. And they will contact at least, they say 1,000 plus phone calls will go out to homes and businesses nearby where an incident has occurred. So that's pretty good.
Right.
Because it's a thousand people that have already previously indicated they'd be willing to do this, you know, to be watching. It's out of Florida, but it's for the whole country.
Childismissing.org. Absolutely.
That is awesome.
Listen, guys. I have someone that has called in. Oh, go ahead, Penelope. Don't let me know.
I was just going to try and mention we have another caller on the line, so I wanted to make sure we got to our other caller before, you know, she has to be, I think it's a she, Alice.
Yeah.
I'm from Louisiana.
She's from Louisiana. This is Alice. She's a very good friend of mine. She has a lot to say for us tonight. So how you doing, Alice?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Doing great. Alice, tonight, who are you talking to on this board tonight, by the way? You called into the panel. You know, we actually have our president on here tonight, is Bill Murray, okay? And also we have Tamika and Penelope, who are family, you know, and that's why you're here, you know, because I know that you are, you know, this type of a person. And we've been talking about you know, community safety tonight, you know, about things to look out for, you know, and just protecting children, you know, and about the environment and recognizing, you know, anything, you know, and anything else that you want to add to it is totally fine. You know, it's totally up to you. So, you know, how do you feel about the community and, like, playgrounds with schools? You know, you're talking about, you know, what if you're taking your daughter to, like, dance classes or, you know, all of it. You think about everything, you know, down in Houma. You know, everybody there's some issues. So how do you feel?
Well, there's a definite issue right now going on where I live. We have a three-tier rapist that should have been actually incarcerated for life, but he got a slap on the wrist because he pled guilty because I found the evidence that put him away to begin with. So he pled guilty. He didn't get life, and now he is out. And he lives in the area that is very close to a preschool in this area. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to the preschool, and I emailed the person that takes over the emails, and I actually told them and sent them the pictures and the description of the truck and stuff for them to be aware of that this three-tier rapist was in the area of this preschool. And the only response I got back was, thank you. So
Know that might be a rapist running around the community? And all I said was,
yes,
thank you? And that was
that's
it?
Actually,
they didn't
it.
Ask you for any other information, but just thank you?
That's it. I actually sent them the information and his picture and the charges that were charged against him. That way they could only not go by my words, but they could also see the person and the charges.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
All I got was a thank you. And my thing is, this is a preschool. He is allowed right now, for some reason, I have no idea, but he's allowed to come back and forth all day long to his residence, but he cannot sleep there. So my thing is, the preschool is open all day long. So you're allowing a three-tier rapist to come into the community and go back and forth from this area when the preschool is open. So it's irrelevant that he gets to go and sleep somewhere else at night. He's still allowed to go
Isn't he within the limited amount of distance to be from a school anyway at that house?
That's exactly correct.
So you telling me he's already violating probation and they allow him to do that?
That's correct.
That's what it sounds like to me.
That's exactly correct. And I've asked why, and I haven't gotten a response. And it really bothered me when I reached out and I emailed the preschool, and the thank you was the only thing I got. So I actually emailed again tonight and asked if they had heard anything about it, because I haven't gotten another response. So, yes, this person is allowed to come back and forth in the area that he is not supposed to be. And it doesn't make sense to me, because the children are there during the day.
Yeah.
And he's still allowed to come back and forth all day long around this preschool.
Has this individual ever been like, let me see, how to put this, pinpointed before, like being at a school or a playground? Like hanging around or looking or just being at the wrong.
He has actually been spotted, and a lady took down his license plate number. He was stalking children getting on a school bus, and there was another incident when he was, I hate to say it, but this is reality. He was caught masturbating while watching children.
Oh, my God.
And nothing was ever done. And when I went to say what I had to say, they couldn't actually even, nothing would come up. So when I went and talked to them, they actually had to dig and find the information, which I find is disgusting, because to me, whether you have two different if you have a police department, a sheriff's department, when you have someone who falls into that category,
right,
that should be information that should be pulled up, no matter if it's a police department or a sheriff's office.
Uh-huh.
That information
right.
is critical. And
oh yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I got a couple of people on here that I think that would love to comment on this situation. You know, only because it has so much to do with what we're talking about in one way, and that there's so much other things involved here too. Penelope, you have a comment on what she's telling us? Or?
Well, I think, you know, the main, what really is my hot button is more of the apathy. Because I hear this, and I have felt this in my own life, in my own story, approaching my own school district where my sons, you know, went to school for many, many years about education on domestic violence, and the apathy of not wanting to take action, still almost being held back by the stigma, not wanting to just address the issue as it should be addressed, which is with a sense of urgency and with a loud
yeah.
voice and an intent to educate
oh, yeah.
and to keep educating until the message is clear and until action is taken. Because what's lacking with the apathy is action. And so, as you know, and I appreciate Alice for sharing what she did, and I think we can all relate to a similar situation and or several.
Yeah.
That's been very, very similar mm-hmm. to that. So I think, what do we do? Have we seen other communities that have established some best practices that have been successful? I mean, I get frustrated because I know, you know, as I said, I can relate to what has been disclosed and discussed with between you and Alice and what she shared with us. But what
yeah.
have we seen done? What can we do to further the education to make progress in,
right.
in our communities
yeah.
where progress
right.
needs to be made? And I want to
yeah.
know, you know, let's talk about what's working and what we could do more of to, you know, start
mm-hmm.
going in the right direction. So the action, you know, versus to combat the apathy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and
I think there's one thing,
those are my
comments. Too, that we – oh, that was wonderful, Penelope. Thank you. You know, that's everything, you know, that we work for here. There's one situation, though, that we haven't brought up yet. And I don't know, maybe she's on the air. If you don't want to answer this, Allison, you don't have to. But can I tell them where the house is?
Yes.
All right. Are y'all ready for this? Everybody's listening really hard, right?
Yep.
This is the rapist, right? You know where the house is?
Next to the police
right.
station.
Nope. Right next door to Alice. Right. No, Bill. Listen, it's right next door to Alice. Okay. She had no
to
idea.
Alice? Oh, to
yes.
Alice. Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's
she
right.
had no idea that he owned the house that
right.
she bought. Okay.
Sure.
So the house is
yep.
up for sale. I want that person.
Right.
And I address this guy. I really did. And you know me, I'm going to do it. However, you know, can you imagine what this woman is going through right now? My God.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
All right. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stories on it. But I wanted you all to share a little bit of her story tonight with the community thing, because this is a huge part of it. You know, and that is a tight-knit community. Let me tell you something about Houma, is that my roots are there. You know, I love these people, beautiful people. They'll give you the shirts off their backs. They will work hard. They'll do anything it takes just to have fun in life, you know, and that's all they want. You know, but when it comes down to something like this, you know, they don't know how to handle it, you know, because it doesn't come around that too far and too often, so to speak. However, is that I do, okay, because I don't leave my roots. And I want to make sure that, that Alice is going to one day, you know, find her recovery, okay? And that's what I want, you know, maybe her to see and ask, is that the fact that, that there's a lot of people out here for her that love her very much. And we all are survivors here, Alice, okay? And that every one of us are. And the people are listening to you right now all over the world, okay? And I want to say that. We are international, okay? And you did a great job by talking what you did. So I just want to thank you for that.
One of the hardest parts I'd like to add also is that family knew what he was and what he did for so many years, and they have had certain ties evidently with the department that it was hidden. That's why it didn't just pop up. And it's appalling to know that a family or people can go out of their way to protect someone of this nature.
Yeah, it happens too much and too often, you know. And this is what I think you know we're all about, you know, is that in order for us to do what we do, and we offer a lot of healing and you know and recovery and prevention, you know, but on the other hand, without even having justice to begin with, you know, a lot of victims are lost, you know, until they get some closure on some of that first. You know, there's a lot going on here. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but however, is that there are different levels of the way it happens, you know. And I think all of us can agree that at some point, you know, we're going to need each other in the long run, you know, to be with each other and support each other.
And I think, and John, you bring up a good point as when Penelope was talking about what can we do to be action-oriented in our community, and that comes down to that, is that even I just found out recently some communities don't even realize that childhood sexual abuse or sexual abuse is an issue. There are some communities that say, oh, no, that goes on over in Florida or Texas or somewhere. And I think we have to realize, for one, it's about acknowledging that it is a problem and that it is a global problem. And no state or city or neighborhood is without that problem. It can happen anywhere. And so I think it's the first step and always in when you're dealing with issues is acknowledging that it can happen. And after acknowledging and accepting and working with the proper authorities, I know in the community where I work, that was one of the things they talked about, is that we didn't realize that it was a problem that here in this city. And now they're like, we need to do something. So they're working with law enforcement to try to, you know, put programs available for children that are that don't have anywhere to stay, that are runaways. Yeah. And unfortunately, there are some people taking advantage of that. When we're talking about sexual abuse, we're talking about trafficking. And so they're trying to say, okay, this is a problem here too, and we need to do something. So action-oriented, you had mentioned, asked about that, Penelope, and that's one of the things that I found just recently, that the community where I live, they are now discussing with task enforcement and different communities about how we can protect the children that have nowhere to go. You know, what kind of facilities do we need to help them? And so that's something that I just learned recently, because I didn't even think it was a problem either. But when you see it and I hear the numbers, the 200,000, the 400,000, it's gone on. And your state is not excluded. No city, no state, no neighborhood.
Yeah, what they're saying, they roughly, I guess, guesstimate that there would be over 400,000 of, you know, children that would be, you know, I guess, you know, trying to be, I don't know, you know, taken away and just gone, you know, but the sex abuse side of that is about half, okay? And that's what I'm getting out of it. I mean, but I don't agree with those numbers, you know, at all, because I think that every part of a missing child is going to have that involved with it. And I would put that up around, you know, almost 100%. Okay, I don't believe that for a minute. So, I mean, you know, I mean, you're talking about kids that are being pulled out this country and sold and everything else, and you telling me that they're not being sex abused? Nah, ain't happening. You know.
So, but what I do hear though that there have been some things that have been implemented that have been accepted, and we've started to make some movement, and I heard Tamika, you know, share some of those. So, first of all, just educating awareness. It sounds like once you put the numbers out there, and you brought the subject up, and talked about the fact that it is relevant, of the relevance to, you know, in terms of a grassroots effort, because it's happening right here in our backyard. That there was some reception to offering the education, and that it sounds like when you were partnering with the police department to come in and educate, you know, on their experience and what they're seeing and how to, you know, be aware of it and what to do once you're aware of it and the process. It sounds like there was some momentum there, and that partnering with our local police communities to help spread the education in these neighborhoods has been a successful effort. It sounds like that's if I heard correctly, it sounds like you did make some progress in that area with those types of partnerships, right?
Well, it's more of the organization itself. I haven't, this is something that I've read recently that I didn't realize was a problem, but I do plan on getting out into the community as things have kind of opened up. But this is something that was noted by significant people in different situations and authority situations that they did not even realize. This is something that has actually just recently come out, that it was a problem where I stayed. And so I have not been involved in that, but I was just sharing how one of the things, as an example, one of the things is that from what I read and the steps that are being taken where I live is that it's important for communities to acknowledge that we are not excluded from the issue, from the problem, that it is a global, nationwide, it's a global issue. And so we need to, first within communities, because that's one of the things that Alice had mentioned that she discussed, is that there is a problem with recognition. There's a problem with acknowledgement. There's a problem with denial and seeing the truth. And unfortunately, you have people that are covering up. So the first thing we need to see, to do, is to accept that we are all, you know, we are all part of this issue that's going on with violating children's rights, violating human rights, and that we all need to come up with a solution and come together. Because I think, like John had mentioned earlier, that just like anything, the internet, so many things that people are doing that's unlawful, are, you know, they find a way to do it. They find a way to, okay, if that door is closed, I'm going to go in another way. And I think it's important for us to come together as a community and say, okay, we won't stand for that. We're going to work together. We're going to keep our children safe. We're going to keep our people safe. And so one of the things that I read, and I'm looking to get more into community. I've you know, with the COVID, I've definitely been pretty cautious about going out, especially with my two children and my family. But I'm looking forward to getting out into the community once again and doing that education that needs to be done and being a part of protecting our children.
That's awesome, Tamika. That is absolutely beautiful, girl. You know, you hit that right on the head. And I want to add to what you said, you know, with, you know, the fact about, you know, actually, you know, going in and recognizing some things, okay? So, you know, here's the thing about that, is that it's probably going to be the most uncommon place, uncommon time, you know, that you expect. But these people have put in an extensive amount of thinking, okay? And the only way that I can educate people out here to understand, and please listen to me, I'm a victim of this, okay? We are victims of this. And I want you to hear us, because these pedophiles go to no extreme to get their way. And this is why I love NASCA so much, because we talk about this every single day, about looking out for that. So in order, you know, for us to put out this education with people, we have to hear stories, right? We have to hear everybody's stories, because every story isn't the same. In fact, every story is going to be different. However, you can take a piece from this story and a lot from that story and realize that, hey, they don't give up, okay? They do not give up. And this is what they do. So, you know, we need to shut them down, you know? So we got to get ahead of the game. So putting pressure on, making sure to get, you know, anytime there's a possibility of an eviction, anything we can do along the way, you know? So I just wanted to add to that, Tamika, because you're so right, you know, about that. And look at it. It's so deep. You know, it really is. It's the core of the problem.
You know, one thing that Tamika brought up that I wanted to share, and I know we heard this from our guest the other night as well, that's done, you know, so much work on working with children within neighborhoods and helped to launch on the team, on the task force with Neighborhood Watch, was where can we show up and what can we start doing now? And one of it was, you know, showing up at your local homeowners association meetings, which, you know, so a lot of us live in neighborhoods where there is some sort of a homeowners association, and doing the education there, you know, bringing the information there and showing up at the homeowners association. I mentioned a Nextdoor app. If you have that Nextdoor.com in your neighborhood where you can sign up and get local alerts in your neighborhood, I've seen a lot of movement lately on all sorts of suspicious reportings of people that are, you know, by description of car and description of the person, you know, to watch out for. So I think that there's some local, you know, community outreach that, you know, we can do, whether we partner with the police department or we, you know, take some of the resources that we've learned about through some of our guests with NASCA and just start getting out there some movement. You know, speaking of homeowners associations, our homeowners association, there was a level 3 sex offender that moved into the area, and there was a email sent out to every single homeowner with a description, a picture, putting the neighborhood and the children on notice, and it was a way to bring that into the consciousness of everybody that lives around here, that not only, you know, because we would think, you know, there aren't any level 3 sex offenders that live around nearby, but there were, and that brought to our attention. So that opened up the dialogue. And I think, you know, one of the suggestions was start with your homeowners association or some entity that is close or involved with your own neighborhood where you could communicate and disseminate the information. So I just wanted to also throw that out there and see if there were any other ideas, you know, stemming from just getting, you know, into your own neighborhoods and starting, you know, to message, if you will, some of these things that need to be messaged. So that, I just wanted to give one example of something that actually has worked in my own neighborhood. And so, Tamika, I don't know, or John or Bill, if you have, or even Alice, do you have any examples of that or other ideas that have, or suggestions of things that have worked?
Well, yeah,
I know
absolutely,
that.
I do.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, Tamika. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know back where I work, I haven't seen it here where I live, but back where we live in Ohio, One of the things they used to do is they actually used to get a, there was a team of them that would walk through the neighborhood. And then they had signs on the doors that had neighborhood watch, that they were part of the neighborhood watch program. And so that's one of the things that we had. My husband was on the board, but that was one of the things they did is they actually took turns doing neighborhood strolls. And I thought that was something that was a good thing to do for the neighborhood. And I haven't, like I said, I haven't seen it here, but I will definitely bring that to the next homeowners meeting. I'm trying to think here. To the next.
I love that example because not only are you talking the talk, they're literally walking the walk, actually physically getting out there and walking, right? I mean, talk about taking action. That's a great suggestion. You know, of just feet on the street, you know. And it's also community building and bonding, but actually really getting involved. I like that idea.
Yeah, and absolutely. It's great. You know, and along with the, you know, the neighborhood protection signs that go up all over is that, you know, usually, and this is the way they do this, is that you have to contact an officer, which I don't believe is the right way to do it, but it, unfortunately that's the way it has to be, is that the officer comes out and he gives a neighborhood, you know, speech on the situations and, you know, what's available. So he does educate the public, and that's what it takes, you know, in order to get that. So, you know, it's not like they're just going to come put a sign up somewhere for you, you know, just to stick it in the ground, so to speak, where it needs to be. You know, they want more than that, you know. So what it takes, though, it takes somebody in the community to stand up and make it happen. You know, all it takes is a phone call, you know, and they'll be glad to come out. There's no question about it. I mean, they can't wait to do it, but it's the fact of people getting out and making that one call and saying, listen, you know, we've been having issues in the neighborhood. I'm worried about our children. You know, I think we should, you know, have awareness in the area and what do we need to do? Well, you know, we could do this and that, and they'll offer suggestions, you know, but having signs put up is an awareness, okay, of criminals, because they are smart enough to look for that, you know, and this is, you know, what I recognize is that they, you know, have been in the past of putting out stories, and I've heard things where place wasn't lit up right, it wasn't, you know, it was easy, you know, I've heard so many stories, it's unbelievable. Each community can do something different, you know, to protect children, because the children are our future, you know, and this is really what it is. It's the biggest investment that anyone can ever have. And in order for our kids to be protected, okay, we're going to have to do everything and anything we can right now to change the laws to make sure that they're protected. And that's what we're doing. You know, and the only way it's going to happen is education, all right, and bringing people on that have experience behind it to let people know the different scenarios. Because without recognizing, some people might not recognize one thing, right? But somebody else could recognize something totally different, and that wasn't right, you know. So this is what I'm getting at. Is that people need to know that they consistently don't give up on trying to get to our kids, okay? They don't give up. And we put an end to it, but they're still there. And I want you to realize they're still there. And don't ever estimate that number, because they are, you know? So, you know, I'm on top of it as much as I could possibly be. You know, if I could be in each city every night of every day, you know, I would be glad to take care of it for you, but I just can't, you know. I hate to laugh about it, but it is a pandemic, you know. How many times has Cal talked about this? And Penelope, you know it's a pandemic. It's bad. And unfortunately, we the ones that have to, you know, be sacrifices to the examples of the people that need to set stage for the future of our kids. And that's what we're doing, you know, by going through the system, you know. And without changing the laws, nothing's going to happen, you know, because it'll always be the same. But, however, laws are changing, and we can't stop. You know, that's the whole thing. We can't stop, because the only way the system's going to work in our favor, which it always should have been, you know, to begin with, you know, is to educate ourselves on every type of situation that's ever happened, you know, without, you know, being hesitant. So, that's kind of, you know, all I have to say. I know we have about 13 minutes left, but I did want to bring Alice on. You know, one more time, just to have an input, because she's been through a lot, and I think that she's going to be really good about having our input on what's going on tonight. So, Alice, how you doing? You there?
Yes, I'm here. Y'all talk about communities and reaching out and joining together, but I find that I've reached out and I'm doing everything I can, and I'm going to continue to do everything I can. But when you can send an email to a preschool and the only response that you get is a thank you, that's not good. And another thing is, I think that the system needs to band together, and especially if you're in the same zip code, the police and the sheriff's department, they should be able to get into each other's, like, those things that have happened should be popping up. When they go into that system, to me, I don't care if you're the police department or you're the sheriff's department. When you go into a system, you should be able to pop up those critical issues that can be detrimental to that area. And in this case, it is. Mm-hmm. And it's so separated, and I brought it to their attention, and I'm waiting for a response, and it's not getting done, but I'm going to continue.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think that we just have to be relentless. It's going to take a lot of perseverance. But I think that, we know that it can be, we can persevere. We're strong. We're tough. We're still alive. We survived this far, right? we just have to keep on the message and keep going and keep thinking of different ideas. You know, implement the ones that we have and continue to grow on them, and to be relentless. Because I think it's the apathy, not let the apathy stand.
Yeah. You know, and one thing I found, too, is that sometimes people get involved with doing, some advocacy work and on a situation, right? And, they come in and they offer, a huge amount of response in the beginning, right? And something does happen. You know, they actually get on the ball and they start doing some stuff. But, you think that they get the message that, that this is business, I mean, this is about saving lives. Well, however, they tend to shade off of that, because of the situations that are involved. However, look, if law enforcement doesn't do their job, then they need to be called out for not doing their job. in my opinion, you know, every step of the way. And too many circumstances are forgiven. And that's why so many cases fall through the cracks. They really do. You know, too many kids in this world have been, you know, totally just devastated by the experiences that they've been through you know, child abuse, that they gave up, you know, because they ran into dead end after dead end after dead end, you know, and they didn't have people there for them to, you know, stand up and make sure that that things were going to go. Now, it might not happen as you think it would be. However, is that when you have people that are experienced in this area that know, you know, how to make things get done, you know, it can happen. But it's all about the effort. You know, it's all about the effort in each case. Well, no matter what, no matter what with that, the empathy comes into play, you know, is that each time that we hear situations that are true stories, credible people, you know, the empathism that is there is overwhelming. You know, it's almost like a lot of times, and I think all of us can agree that when we hear people talk and tell their stories, you know, we want to reach right through the screen and give them the biggest hug they ever had. All of us at the same time. You know, we've heard some, you know, dramatic stories on this, you know. But I'm going to tell you that there are people here for that. And this is the difference, I think, that we're making these days, is that before, nobody followed up with things, all right? They did make a say. They did do some initial actions, but they didn't really follow up all the way, you know, with pushing it every step of the way to find out, you know, what's going on. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort. But, however, it has to be done. It has to be done for our kids, you know. It's the only way it's going to happen. So go ahead.
Well, I agree. I wanted to know if Tamika or Bill had any more comments to make before we run out of time here. So, Tamika, I'd like to just call on you and give you one more opportunity to interact with the panel. And thank you as well for your help tonight as my co-host and your discussion and sharing some of your ideas and best practices.
Right. I think the biggest thing is sharing our story, talking, because the way that you get to through denial is by informing people of what's been going on and letting them know, because, you know, even in my case, I didn't have the classic symptoms that many people would have when they're going through childhood sexual abuse. You know, it was more of a secret. And so I think the biggest thing is that when we tell our stories, we break the stigma that it doesn't just occur like this. It can happen in, you know, business, people that are business leaders out there in the community for major companies. It can happen in the lowest neighborhood. And I think once we, when we call the act to educate, to share our story and to let people know that, you know, this is happening. Statistics are good to share, you know, and let them know that this is happening. And that the only one of the ways that we can stop this is by coming together. And like Alice mentioned, unfortunately, you know, it was the thank you that she received. And again, that's part of denial, because if you're not acting, then there's I would say there's some part of denial, especially when there is someone who is known in the neighborhood. So I think for me, is sharing my story when I go out there and talk and let them know, hey, this does happen, and it doesn't always happen this way. And I think that helps to open the door to, oh, well, maybe this is something I need to pay attention to.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's bringing awareness in whatever way we can, even if it's through the denial, as you stated, and I called it apathy, but I think the denial is actually probably even more accurate.
because I don't think we want to really acknowledge, it's too painful to acknowledge these things that happen to children and to our children, children that are around us. So I absolutely, thank you.
And if I could just say this, if the child itself can be in denial, then the adults can too. And so that's, again, you know, bringing awareness and making it, because when you're a child, you don't believe that that's happening to you. You know, there is some disbelief. And so, again, breaking that shield, that barrier, is by talking about it. And that's one of the things that I encourage all parents to do, is to, you know, talk to your children. Make sure that they can come to you. They feel they can come to you. I know life gets busy. We have to pay bills. There are so many other responsibilities that we do have, but our children is our ultimate responsibility. And ourselves, you know, making sure they have the information they need to be safe. And so that's one of the things my mom always taught me, that you take care of home first. And so you talk to your children, you make yourself approachable, and you give them the right to discuss anything and everything with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exactly.
Very true. Because the healing and the recovery will be much easier if that happens, Tamika. You're exactly right. You know, without that, that's the core of it. You hit that right on the head. It's the core. Yeah, so thank you for saying that. That is really good. Yeah.
So I also want to invite Bill back in. We're down to, you know, less than 3 minutes. And Bill, just a few final words from you on our open mic night and our subject matter of educating our community and protecting our children.
Yeah, I decided to call this an open mic night, and I changed the description of the show, and I also moved the description that was here to Wednesday night, because I had gotten in touch with our planned special guest, and she will be with us instead on Wednesday night. She's in the hospital tonight with her daughter. So she'll be here Wednesday night, and I changed the description of tonight's show to make it I called it a public safety show about local, regional, and national issues, and so forth. I changed the description. It was a good show, I thought. And you know, anytime we get stuck with something like this, I'm pretty certain that no matter who is the host and the co-host, as long as we have two people there, you know, we can do a show. which is why we have them two scheduled for every night. You know, but anyway, I want to thank everybody who was here, because can't do it without you guys, you know. I kept a little quiet because I just wanted to let you guys have your lead here, but I thought it was a terrific show. So I really appreciate the energy too. So thank you, Penelope, for letting me participate as well.
Oh, well, thank you, Bill. Absolutely. And one more thing about, you know, the outreach to the community. These shows, which are on 5 nights a week, and tonight was an open mic night, these are archives, as we know. They're accessible on the archives, and this is the kind of information anybody can access. So this is part of NASA's outreach to the community. This has been an educational, and anyone interested in learning more about intervention, prevention, and recovery from child abuse to the show and can learn from it. So this is a platform that NASA offers. I'm so thankful for it and what an honor it is to be to host.
Absolutely.
So I've got seconds left, and I wanted just to thank you all so much. I wanted to thank Tamika, my co-host. I wanted to thank John as well. John, thank you so much.
You're welcome, man.
So much for you know, being on and always just, you know, what you offer. In terms of the host team and your contributions are invaluable. To Bill Murray, our CEO and founder, of course, my eternal gratitude. And Alice, it was so nice to meet you from Louisiana. Thank you so much for coming in. So nice to meet you. And thank you so much for everything that you contributed to the show tonight. As I always say when we sign off, there are enough adult eyes on this planet to keep every single one of our children safe. If you see something, take action, do something, say something.
Well,
thank you.
Can I say one more thing?
We're out of time.
Tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will